I called my mom and I said, "Mom, I just created this Woman of Color podcasters group from all the activity I've been seeing on Twitter. I think I'm kind of sitting on a gold mine." And I started to cry because I knew inside of my body, inside of my mind and soul, that this was going to be a game changer.
Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, talking to interesting people, amazing creatives, people making money online, one conversation at a time. I just thought of that right now. I'm feeling inspired, people. This episode is sponsored by the Money on the Mountain Retreat, a financial retreat for financially single women, as well as a smutty romance from Autumn Stone. So pick up your smutty romance as well. Heads up. The Make Money with eBooks course is on sale for a limited time, so definitely check out the show notes. You can go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/Danielle for the show notes. So today's amazing, interesting, awesome person that I'm speaking to, has so many cool things going on. This is part of my brand building series. I'm really thrilled to speak with her because she is the embodiment of taking bold actions and not overthinking it. So we're going to get into all of the things that she's doing, the amazing communities that she's growing, building consistency, all the things. We're going to get into it. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Miss Danielle Desir. I may have said her name wrong and she's going to correct me, and that's okay. That's okay.
No, you said it correctly. That was great. And the crowd goes wild.
That wasn't supposed to sound scary. It was like the crowd going wild. But don't judge me, listeners. So Danielle, thank you so much for being here. I want to first thank you for being a speaker at Money on the Mountain. We're going to get into that later in the show. But I want you to introduce yourself. Let people know who you are and what you do.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I listen to your show every week, so this is really a cool opportunity to really get to connect with you and all of your audience. So my name is Danielle Desir. I am a travel finance strategist, writer, and podcaster. I really focus on affordable travel, as well as paying off debt and building wealth. So for me, money really impacts nearly everything that we do. So there's so many things that we have on our list of what we want to accomplish in our life, and it's finding creative ways to make it happen. So I blog over on thoughtcard.com, and I also have a podcast called The Thought Card.
But you have more than one project. Actually, I want to get into I want to ask this question. How did you even begin blogging about finance and travel? Like, how did that become a thing for you? Because I've met travel bloggers and I love them, bless their hearts. I do. I love them, but they're not talking finance in the way that you do. In fact, it's usually never talked about. It's just, let's go on these amazing trips. Let's travel hack. Let's trade services so that we can do this. Let's barter. But you're like, let's talk money and then we can travel. So I want to get into a little bit of your backstory so that people understand why you even talk about this.
Sure. So I would say that growing up, my family was very centered around talking about money. So I grew up in a family where we talked about money at the dinner table. I learned how to start saving at an early age. My mom opened my first retirement when I was 15.
What?
So I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was back in the day, we had, I think it was Wachovia, and Wachovia used to have really good CD rates. So I would save money and put my money in CDs. So pretty much, I really grew up in a financial financially savvy household. And that really inspired me to, when I was going to college, to get my degree in finance, which you honestly don't even need if you're into personal finance, but that's another conversation.
We're not going to go there, okay?
Exactly. No shade there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I always had this interest for money, and it really helped having that foundation for my family where money was something that we talked about, we saved, and even invested. Now, in terms of travel, when I was younger, I would travel to Haiti every summer during my summer breaks. And it was great because there I learned to speak the local language. I learned about Haitian culture and food. But after a while, you know, when you're a teenager and you're in high school, travel kind of became uncool for me at that time because none of my friends were doing it. And then I got to college and travel became cool again. But unfortunately, Danielle did not have any funds to make it happen.
Oh.
And yeah. And I went to school during the height of the recession.
Oh. So,
and I mean, there were plenty of opportunities, like studying abroad opportunities, but it was really making a decision. Do I want to study abroad in Paris and France? Or does my mom need this money to pay the light bill? Like that was really... That was the kind of decisions that we had to make at that time when I was in college. So travel wasn't really on the horizon for me, but I did decide and I told myself that, you know what, when I do get a full-time job and I'm able to save some money, I'm going to make travel a financial priority in my life because I know what it's like to want to do something, but not have the funds to do it. So when I first started my blog, it was really a lifestyle blog. But then I went to my first trip to Paris and France and other places in Europe with my family. And I said, you know what, let me just start a random travel blog. But while doing the travel blog, I had a lot of student loan debt. I had $63,000 student loan debt at the time. And I kind of started chronicling, like just really trying to pay that off and travel. And that's really how I infused it together. So while I was traveling, paying off my debt, writing about it, and I was able to pay off my debt in 4 years, which was super exciting.
Congratulations. Very proud of you on that. It's a very hard journey to pay off debt, as you know. That's something that I'm doing as well. I also had to help my mom. And I feel like people don't know that part of your story. You don't have to get into that. I would love for you to share what it was like to be a young adult helping with family finances, because I think that's important, especially as a woman of color. I'm assuming you went to Haiti because that was where family was. Am I right in thinking?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. If you wouldn't mind just touching on that, part of the reason why I started writing about money well is because I felt very alone with some of the financial experiences that I was having. And one of them was having to support and help family, specifically a parent. What I've learned actually is that for women of color, the percentage is like 51%. It's a huge percentage. And so as I've had conversations with people on my podcast or in person, this comes up a lot. So I would love for you to very briefly just talk about what that was like, especially during that time, because it was so scary.
Right. So, I mean, I grew up in a single family household with a single mom. So my mom has done everything and anything she had to do to make sure that I had a really good education, that I was just doing the best. And honestly, like, I thank her so much for who the person I am today. Mm. When we were in college, I was very intentional. Like, I already knew, I don't know how I knew this, but I said to myself, I don't want to get into student loan debt. Mm. And I worked my tail off to get scholarships. I was one of the New York Lottery scholarship recipients.
What was that?
Yeah, it was like the scholarship, the New York Lottery. They were just giving out scholarships and I applied and I got it.
Oh.
Right. I mean, I don't know how. I was focused. I applied to nearly everything I could get my hands to. And I got a really nice sum of cash to go to college. And the first 2 years, my mom really didn't have to contribute much.
Right.
But then things started to slow down. The economy started to slow down. My financial aid package dwindled. And she had to spend a lot of money out of pocket. Mm. Meanwhile, I'm supplementing, you know, what she's spending by actually having small jobs in college. So I was a tour guide for my college. I was working as a science assistant teacher. So I was always working in college.
Right.
And that really helped me to be independent so that I could at least have some pizza money or do something.
Right.
you know, do something on the weekends. But again, it wasn't enough for me to really go off and travel and do the things that I want to do. And I remember having a conversation with my mom, because one of the places I really wanted to go to was Paris. So since my family is from Haiti, we have a lot of French influence, and yes, just Paris was just like, it was number one. And there was a study abroad program opportunity, and it cost thousands of dollars, and it wasn't covered by my financial aid package. And I said to my mom, "Mom, I really would love to go to Paris for the summer." And she said, "You know what, Danielle, like, I don't really have the funds to make this happen, but if you want, I will do what I can." And at the time I had to sit down and really say to myself, you know, and also during the height of recession, like, we were losing our house at the time. So it was just, it was a financial mess, but at least she had her job. So that was like the one thing, the saving grace.
Yeah.
But I had to decide, do I want to go to Paris and spend 6 weeks in Paris for $10,000?
Woo!
Or, I know, right? Out of pocket. Or do I just want to, you know, allow myself to just miss this opportunity, which is okay, but at least my mom could work on other bills and other things that she has to work on to make sure that we have the lights on. And it was really hard for me to walk away from Paris, but I think it's the best decision that I've made, because now I get to go to Paris anytime I want without having to, you know, bat an eye. So that really has shaped me. And I'm always looking at that lens as to, like, a lot of things that you're doing in life, especially when it comes to finances, you have to make a decision. Am I going to do X or am I going to do Y? Mm. And there will be a trade-off. There will be sacrifices to be made, but you have to feel confident in your decision at that time. And for me, that was a decision that I'm so happy I made. And I can take my mom to Paris whenever she wants now. So I'm so happy that I was able to turn that into something positive and not be bitter about missing that opportunity.
I think your story also speaks to the fact that we're always in a season of life. It's not going to be forever that you can't go to a place or that you can't do the thing that you want. It's just that moment in time. And I think that's something that's really important. A lot of people have a fear of missing out, you know, that FOMO. And I think that that drives sometimes a lot of decisions that are harmful to many people financially, because they're like, you know what, if I don't do this now, it's never going to happen. And honestly, sometimes you don't do it now, it's just going to happen differently than you originally imagined it. And that's okay. And so now you've got everything cleaned up, everything's good, and you can do what you like. Like, you don't even have to think about it twice.
Right. It's a very powerful place to be. And I think that's exactly the fear of missing out. Having that fear is really what leads into getting into debt. Because imagine if I would have said yes to Paris, I would have had way more student loan debt than I had before. And I maybe would have not made the decisions to be where I am now. So I always say it's okay to walk away from something that you really, really want and be intentional. Like, because I knew I couldn't go to Paris in college, I knew the first trip I'm ever going to go on, as soon as I make enough bank, will be to Paris. And a couple years later, I was in Paris, my first solo trip, and it was amazing. So you have to be a little bit patient, a little bit strategic. You can do it. You can do it.
By the way, $10,000 for six weeks is insane. Ironically, Paris was my second trip abroad on my own. And what I did was exactly what you're describing. So I ended up finding a language program that was held at the Sorbonne, and it was the first year that they held that program. So it was like spackled together, super cheap. This is why people should always jump on stuff the first year that you see it. So I went to FinCon the second year, it was only $100, right? So anyway, and FinCon is a financial conference that all the finance nerds like to attend, listeners. But I ended up finding this random program. I go to Paris for 6 months. I am able to finance it through creative means. I use cash. I literally, for 6 months, spent only $4,000 for everything. I'm talking travel, housing, food, fun, everything. $4,000 for 6 months.
That's amazing. People spend $4,000 for 2 weeks.
Okay? I know. It will never happen again. I'm just going to say that. But if you find something that's it's in its inaugural year, especially, jump on it. Because a lot of times they're really trying to make a program like that happen. And so it's going to be a lot cheaper. They're going to be a lot more creative about what they're going to do for the attendees of said program. So first year, jump on it. So anyway, we're gonna kind of transition. Thank you very much, by the way, for sharing that story, because I didn't know that was kind of one of those crossroads that you experienced. And I think that's something for a lot of people to consider, is you're in a moment. That moment's not forever, even when it feels like it. and that good things are coming and you just have to work towards it. So I want to talk more about creating this brand that you now have. You have several different things that you're working on. And I think what I'd like to talk about is just how you are creating opportunities without like thinking too hard about it. One of the reasons why I started this series was to get entrepreneurs, get creative printers in particular, to stop outthinking action. So I want you to talk about creating the Woke Podcast Group, the Women of Color Podcast Group, which is on Facebook, and how you started that community, what kind of was the impetus, and what your goal is for that. I know it's a very powerful space. Let's get into it.
Sure. So I feel for me, like as I build my brand, I'm really following the passion. And I just realized that I stumble into a lot of different things. And for example, because I had a blog and I loved blogging and I loved listening to podcasts, I said to myself, you know what, Danielle, you can have a podcast. You can do it, right? Oh. And I pretty much stood in that, like, you can do it mode for 2 years and didn't do anything.
What kept you from doing anything? Like, what was the delay?
The delay was that I wanted a co-host. I felt like I couldn't do it alone.
What and the I wanted, hell?
I know, but I felt like I needed someone to be with me to help me do it. Mm. And just the analysis paralysis. And I would listen to like podcasts that I love, like the Money Nerd podcast by Whitney Hansen. I loved her show. And I would just be like, I feel like I can do this, I think, but I just wanted a co-host because I was just scared. I was just literally scared. But what happened was that Spotify had a Sound Up Bootcamp. It was a week-long opportunity where they would fly you into New York City, train you up. All you needed to do is be, one, a woman of color, and two, an aspiring podcaster with an idea. Mm. And honestly, I thought that this opportunity had my name on it. It was like a come to Jesus moment. It was like, Danielle, this is for you. The lights were beaming down on me. I felt really good about it. So I put my application in and I waited. On May 1st, the day that we're supposed to be, you know, hearing about who won this opportunity, which was 10 attendees, we didn't hear anything from Spotify at all. And we're on Twitter. We created a hashtag. We're trying to connect with each other. We're like adding Spotify to be like, what's going on? We want to win this money and be in this program. And I noticed that there were so many women of color on Twitter talking about this opportunity. I said to myself, let me just create a Twitter list. But then I realized with the Twitter list, it was hard for me to stay organized and to like really connect with people. So I said, let me create a Facebook group. I create a Facebook group in a rush, in a panic, slapped together a cover page, and I called my mom. And I said, Mom, I just created this Women of Color podcasters group from all the activity I've been seeing on Twitter. I think I'm kind of sitting on a gold mine. And I started to cry. Because I knew inside of my mind and soul that this was going to be a game changer. I didn't know how, but I just knew that, oh my God, I'm a new podcaster creating this thing that I have no business creating, but let's just go with it. My mom gave me some encouragement. I opened the doors up and now we're like a year in. We have over 1,600 women of color podcasters in that community from over 37 countries. And it's just me kind of going off a whim, me wanting to do a podcast one day and finding an opportunity. Now here we are, like a year later. So it's just amazing if you just follow your passion.
I think you're understating it a little bit.
I'm like,
don't give me that bullshit answer, like follow your passion crap. Like people hate that. I want you to talk about the fear of starting that group. Did you have imposter syndrome? Did you think that, who am I? I haven't even started a podcast. Like, what am I thinking? Like, did you even imagine, because I belong to this group, so please do join. It's an amazing group. You do incredible things. You facilitate a lot of content. It's just a wonderful community, growing podcasters who happen to be women of color. And by women of color, that would be you're African-American, you're Latina, you're African, you're Chinese, whatever. So let's not understate what a big choice and action this was. Because, yeah, I'm going to start calling people out on that. I hate it. I really do. Because I'm like, you know what? If everyone followed their passion, everyone would do, you know what I mean? Like you, there's a place in between the fear of doing and then the action. I want you to touch on that space right there.
Right. Okay. So it wasn't imposter syndrome, because a lot of the women that I was connecting with at the time were newbie podcasters, because this application was for newbie podcasters.
Right.
So I already knew that the people who are joining this community were new podcasters. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, it was really organizing the community and understanding what does a new podcaster need to do. Like, I didn't even do any research at all for it. So it was just me trying to more so figure it out and take action steps. And because I was new to podcasting, as I was learning, I was also sharing what I was learning. So I had a community there to help me start my show when that was the case. But it wasn't imposter syndrome. And when I say using your passion, if I didn't follow the train of thought there and take action. You really have to take action. When you're following your passion, it's good to follow your passion, but you have to take action. So if I didn't take action on starting that Facebook group, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Right.
But if I didn't continuously take action every day, like I'm in my community every day communicating and creating content or networking or helping someone with a question. So I'm taking actionable steps every single day, and that helps. And again, when I started this group, I had no idea what I was doing. I was a total newbie, I didn't even have a podcast for 2 years.
I was wondering about that. And that's part of the reason why I was asking, you know, when I mentioned imposter syndrome, I wouldn't say that you had it, but many listeners will say that they do, or they'll have that twinge like, who am I without the podcast to start this community? And I like that you were like, F it, I'm going to do what I got to do. Like this, I see an opportunity. I see a community. I see a chance to do something great, and I did it.
Right. It's a lot of it is like putting yourself out there. And I know you have a podcast episode about doing it ugly. Like that's me all day. Like I do it ugly, but at the end of the day, you could look back and say, I did it. Mm. And that for me has been super powerful.
Uh-oh, the coffee kicked in, listeners. I may have gone to a party last night. It was my friend's birthday. And I told Danielle, I was like, Danielle, I'm not quite myself. Fixed a cup of coffee. I can tell that I've kicked in. So Danielle, be prepared. It's going to be crazy now.
It's going to be on now. Yes.
It's on.
Let's do it.
It's on. And actually, I'm loving what you're sharing. I'm loving how inspired I feel and the advice. And I want to get more into this brand that you've created. Again, in travel, mixing finance and travel is really unusual. Very, very unusual. So could you talk about being probably one of the only people I've ever seen in that space, to be honest, positioned in that way? And I feel like there's a trend with you, which is you do unique things. And you have unique brand positioning. So could you talk about figuring out what space you want to be in and you and unique brand positioning?
Sure. So it's interesting because when I started my blog 4 years ago, people didn't understand the intersection of money and travel. But I'm like, it makes perfect sense. You need money to travel. And if anyone ever tells you that it's not true, tell them it's a bold-faced lie, okay? Because you need money to travel. You can spend less money for sure. You can spend very little money, but you still need money to travel. So for me, it was a no-brainer. I wanted to focus on affording the things that I am really passionate about, which for me, one of the things is travel. And no one was talking about it. And honestly, I didn't really care to hear what other people were doing, like, because I felt like my position was so unique. Like, I'm in debt and I'm a Black woman. I'm trying to figure things out. Like, there was no one that I could relate to. So I just kind of stayed insular and said, okay, Danielle, what are you going to do to get through your goals as well as, you know, do the things that make you really happy, which is travel. So I just really started to figure out what my strategy was. And after going on every trip, I would come back and share the details and just continuously build upon my experiences. So I feel like for me, if I didn't live through this, like live through my content, my blog wouldn't exist. But because it's a reflection of my strategies, my life, and what I do, I'm able to really, like, not only share, like, it's not an idea. This is what I've done, and this is what has helped me. And for me, what makes me, inspires me to continue going is that I want my readers and my listeners to do it better than me. Like, I did this by kind of piecing things together. Now you go do it better, faster, stronger, less debt, you know, more wealth. Go do it better than me. And for me, that helps me to just continue producing content and just building on this specific niche that I've fallen into.
I would love for you to touch on, because you're creating a lot of content, you're engaging a lot of places. Like most people, you probably started, it wasn't monetized, things like that. Are you working in finance and doing this, or has it flipped? Like, talk about how you have grown this platform. I'm pretty sure that you've been able to attract money in different ways. Talk about positioning yourself in that way and learning to attract money if you are monetizing your projects, which I feel like you are because you're in finance.
Yes, for sure. So I would say, for me, the direct correlation between my passion project and monetization was investing in myself. When I say investing in myself, I went to a blogger conference. It's called Blog House, and it was application only. And I applied, and it was a lot of money. It was like $600. And for me, I wasn't even making any money on this little passion project, but here I was investing $600 in it. And it took me a little while to get over that hump of like investing in myself. But I swear, after going to that conference, I've monetized my passion ever since.
Wow. I've never heard of Bloghouse, by the way, because I'm not positioned solely in travel. What about Bloghouse? What about that specific conference helped you to monetize what you were doing?
I would say the techniques and strategies that I learned, like SEO, search engine optimization, and really having the mentorship to really come and tell me, like, this is working. Like, one of the things I had on my blog at the time was these budget breakdowns of how much my trips cost. Yeah.
I like that.
And I did it very haphazardly. I was like, I'm just going to just share this trip to Iceland. Mm-hmm. And my mentor was like, this needs to be every trip you go on. So having that direction and being able to have someone look at your content and say, this is interesting, keep going at this, experiment and do things like that, that really helped. But for me, I also think that before the conference, I was very close to the idea of making money on the side of my day job. Like, I just felt like it wasn't going to happen. It could never happen. I didn't know how. But for some reason, after that conference, I feel like my mind expanded. And I said to myself, I am living in abundance. And I might not know how to do it. But if my eyes and ears and my mind is open, it will flow and come to me. And I think going to the conference has really helped me to just be open to that abundance. So it's a little woo, I know for sure, but
I'm woo woo, so I kind of love it. I'm totally woo woo, and I'm like, I totally get that. Yeah. So I enjoyed that answer. For the creativepreneurs, most of the people listening would be someone in the online space, so maybe they're a blogger, podcaster, that kind of thing, and they're probably thinking, well, how do you monetize? Could you share, if you don't mind, not all the ways, but some of the things that you've worked on or attracted and even what's your favorite way to monetize this? And I'm curious, are you doing this full time or are you still doing finance as well? How do you juggle the two if you are?
Sure. So I do work full time. I'm a manager at a medical school. So I do work full time. Yes, okay. Yeah, I work full time. And I would say that my blog and all the other projects I do is really passion projects on the side. And it's something that I've been intentionally monetizing. So I'm very intentional in what I'm doing and how I'm making money off of it.
Nice.
But in terms of the blog, I've been able to monetize through sponsor posts. So a sponsor will come to me and say, hey, we're interested in, you know, having a feature on your website. And because I'm very niche and very specific, I am very adamant about creating the content that will resonate with my financially savvy traveler audience. So as long as the brand aligns, I'm able to come up with some creative ideas. And it's great for them because it's not only exposure and, you know, just brand awareness, but for me, I get to monetize it that way as well. And my audience really appreciates it and loves the content that I produce. So if you're wondering like, oh, will my audience, you know, say something about it? They don't care. So that's important to say.
So you only do sponsored content? Do you do like affiliates or anything like that or ads? Because I'm sure if there's a travel blogger listening, they're curious about that as well.
Sure. Yes. So I do affiliates. It's not a big portion of my income, but it's something that I am working on for 2019. And also I recently created a course. I created a budgeting course, which has been great for passive income, which has been really, really helpful. And also with the podcast, I've had a podcast sponsor as well. So that has really helped in terms of monetizing the podcast. And I am releasing a book next month.
So holla, you know how I feel about that.
Love
that. Yes, get your book out. How do you manage your time? How are you doing all this?
Yes. So, I mean, when I was doing all these things, I was very flustered and overwhelmed. But I think for me, what has been working a lot is really dedicating specific parts of my business every single day. So on Mondays, it will just be focusing on the blog. So writing content, editing photos. On Tuesday, it will be focusing on WC podcasters, making sure that, you know, the community has all the content they need. On Wednesday, maybe podcasting. So I really focus on different tasks of my business in different days. And that has helped me to stay organized. Also, the night before, I make a very short list, 3 things that I want to do that day. And I just focus on those 3 things and kind of wrap it up into the bigger tasks of which part of my business I'm focusing on.
What advice would you give to someone who's at the beginning of their creative journey, at the beginning of paying off debt? Like what would you say to that person who's like, I'm about to do something really bold and I'm freaked the heck out and I don't know how this is going to go?
I would say to make a list of the things that you are really, really passionate about and really want to accomplish. Short term, I would say, as well as long term, and just focus on that future state, like where you want to be. There's a lot of people who always like say that you have to imagine yourself in your future state, and that really helps to light the fire within you. And for me, that has helped me so much. Like one of the things I'm working on financially right now is to pay off my mortgage. It's a lot of money. But you know what is helping me mentally is imagining me ripping up the last bill and jumping up and down and throwing it in the fire and me living in that emotional moment of being debt free of my mortgage. So I would say make a short list of the things that you want to accomplish and then spend some time actually visualizing you crossing the finish line, visualizing you being in that future state. And then once you really have nailed that goal, you know you're invested, the fire is lit, now you start taking the action steps. Write down step by step, what are you going to do? How much are you going to save? You know, what are the first, second, third, fourth, fifth steps that you need to take? So that for me has helped me and continues to help me move forward in all the big projects I'm working on.
I wanted to make a comment about invest in yourself. I think a lot of people get weird about that phrase. And I'm like, if you went to college, you've already invested in yourself. I think that people get kind of nervous about paying for courses or paying for like courses outside of what they would consider a traditional education, like college, that kind of thing. I've also paid for conferences, for courses, for books, things like that. There's more than one way to educate yourself, and that's something to consider. You don't have to go broke doing it. When you're investing in yourself, maybe you don't have the money and you apply, like Danielle said, you apply for scholarships, you apply for special opportunities, you apply for a conference to attend it for free. So just if you're not financially able to do a thing, like to afford something that you really like to do, or you have the money, but it's probably better allocated to something else, reach out to the people putting whatever it is together and see if there's a way to defray that cost. So I did want to kind of touch on that because I think sometimes people hear that and they're like, you know what? I've got all this debt. I wish I could. Don't wish you can't. Don't say, I wish I could. See if you can make something happen by just reaching out. That's happened for me many times. I know that's happened for you. So just that's an aside that I was like, you know what? I'm sitting on this thought. I need to share that. Before we wrap up, you are going to be one of the speakers at the Money on the Mountain retreat. I am so thankful for you, you know, taking your time to do that, to be a part of this event. Could you talk about why it resonated with you and also the bold action that you so that I knew that you wanted to be a speaker?
I know. I'm so bold.
No, I people need to learn because a closed mouth doesn't get fed.
I was going to say that before. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
It's very, very true. Yeah. So I'm a listener of your podcast and it immediately resonated with me because I am a single woman and my money is not tied in with a significant other or a spouse. So it's really like I'm leading my ship to success. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for me, that resonated with me so much. And like you had said, when you go to different conferences, like not a lot of conferences have devoted time to focus on issues that women issues, as well as a single woman issues. A lot of times you hear about people's success story, but you don't hear that they have a spouse that's helping them. You know what I mean? So,
exactly. So I
just really wanted to be in that space to be there and to talk and to just really communicate and to share the things that I've learned as well as to learn from other women. I thought that was a really powerful, powerful opportunity. And, you know, I was listening to your podcast and I was like, I'm going to attend. And I said to myself, you know what, let me just reach out to Michelle and send her a pitch idea of what I focus on, which is affording travel, paying off debt and building wealth, and to see if this would be a good fit. Because again, like as a single woman, and even if you're just a woman in general, like a lot of us want to travel, but how do you travel, afford to travel, as well as maintain all of your other responsibilities that you have?
Exactly.
And hit all your other goals. And I feel like I've been able to do that consistently. So I feel like that's the value that I'm bringing to the conference. And I'm just super excited for the opportunity to connect with everyone and to share my thoughts on that.
I'm just so happy that you reached out. So I wanted to let you know that really made my day. And I'm very focused on having the conversations and having the time to have the conversations that financially single women need. And so I definitely want people to pick up their tickets. By the way, there are payment plans. So when you're on the landing page, the information page for the retreat, excuse me, you will see an area where you can purchase your ticket on a payment plan. So just heads up, that is available. The early bird tickets end in July. So please do pick those up because the price will go up and I do want you guys to get the tickets early if at all possible. So again, there is a payment plan that you can click on. So it's not like you have to arrange it with me. You just click on it and then you get billed for 3 months, a smaller amount. So just so you know, or you can pay in full and you get a little discount for that. Danielle, if you could please share how people can find you. I will also include links to all of these things. The show notes will be at michelleismoneyhungry.com/Danielle, but please share everything so we can support you and be a part of your community as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. So you can find me on thoughtcard.com. That's my website. And if you prefer the audio version, you could head over to the Thought Card podcast, and you can find it in anywhere you listen to podcasts. So Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, all of the good things. And if you are on Facebook and you would love to hear about all the cheap flights I find or the different tips and tricks I find in terms of affording travel, I have a Facebook community called Financially Savvy Travelers. And it's a really small, tight-knit community, and we have a lot of fun in there. And in terms of my newest project coming out, I'm going to have a book called Iceland Nature, Nurture, Adventure. Ooh. And it's an Iceland travel guide, specifically for Black women. So if you are interested in traveling to Iceland, I've been there 3 times. It's one of my favorite places in the world.
That's on my short list, actually. I'll tell you more about that after this call. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Iceland Nature, Nurture, and Adventure comes out in July, and I'm just excited to publish my first book and be an author.
And people, don't forget, you can make money with ebooks. And that course is on sale this month. So just heads up. Everybody, please reach out to Danielle. Please, if you are a woman of color who's looking to become a podcaster, join that group. It's an amazing, amazing community. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.